Tonight, 1 week later, what we've now learned about that horrific school shooting in Uvalde. Tonight, the children and their calls to 911. The gunman in their classroom, the audio, what appears to be the dispatcher, signaling that children in the room are calling for help. It all comes as the funerals now begin, 1 week after 19 children and two teachers were killed. Border Patrol agents today back at that school 1 week later, this time paying their respects. And tonight, ABC News obtaining video and audio from outside the school as the attack was still unfolding. Children escaping through windows and what appears to be a 911 dispatcher telling police they are receiving calls from children trapped with the gunman inside their classroom. What we've now learned tonight, Marcus Moore standing by in Uvalde. Also tonight, a small group of Democrats and Republicans meeting on Zoom today in the wake of the shooting. What's on the table now, and would it stop a young person turning 18 from buying an AR-15 style rifle the very next day, like the suspect in Texas? Rachel Scott with a reality check on the Hill tonight. The severe storm threat as we come on the air from Texas to Michigan, damaging winds, and the potentially dangerous system moving into the Northeast tomorrow. Ginger Z standing by to time this out. Overseas tonight, the fierce battle underway right now, the last key city in one part of the Donbass, in Luhansk. Russian forces gaining ground, the White House pressed. Will it send rockets? And if so, how far will they go? Ian Pannell in Ukraine tonight. This evening, the pilots on a flight from JFK Airport in New York to Rome, did they both fall asleep? Air traffic control saying it lost contact for 10 minutes. Fighter jets about to scramble. What the airline tonight is saying about the captain. The verdict in the first trial brought by the Trump administration's special counsel investigating the origins of the Trump-Russia probe. What the jury has decided, Pierre Thomas standing by. The search for two missing women kayaking, their group plunging over a dam in Virginia. The 9-year-old girl surviving a rare cougar attack. We have news on her condition. The new study tonight about coffee, anywhere up to 3.5 cups a day, and what the study now says. And BTS in the house, the White House, and their very important message tonight.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to be back with all of you after the Memorial Day weekend. And we begin tonight with the shootings in Uvalde, Texas. It was 1 week ago. We were coming on the air still unsure just how awful it was, and it only got worse. Tonight, as the first of the 19 school children and two teachers are now laid to rest, a clearer picture here of the timeline after police arrived, how long it took, and now what appears to be the dispatcher telling police we have children calling 911 from inside that classroom with the gunman pleading for help. The faces of the children lost in a growing memorial outside Robb Elementary School. We saw children today going into a church there to say goodbye to one of their friends. Fourth graders now going to funerals to bid farewell. Customs and Border Patrol officers showing their respects 1 week later, returning to the scene again, this time to honor the fallen as the funerals begin. Tonight here, a much clearer timeline of that day, how long it took, as I mentioned, the images of first responders helping children to escape through windows, but some being told not to go into that classroom. Frantic parents urging police to go in and get their children. And new audio tonight appearing to be a dispatcher and that warning. We're getting calls from children trapped in that room. And tonight, the first funeral for 10-year-old Amory Jo Garza. Tonight here, we remember what her father told me about his little girl. Classmates say she was one of the children who tried to call 911 before she was shot and killed. And 10-year-old Maite Rodriguez also laid to rest tonight. She had dreamed of becoming a marine biologist since kindergarten. ABC's Marcus Moore leading us off from Texas tonight on these new developments and what we now know about that day.
For the family of our children.
Tonight, 1 week after the massacre at Robb Elementary, U.S. Customs and Border Patrol agents coming to the school to honor the 19 students and two teachers who lost their lives. It comes as investigators piece together each moment of that 77-minute rampage.
Guy with a rifle.
Law enforcement starting with those grainy images appearing to show the gunman walking right into the school. Officials say it was just 6 minutes after a teacher left a door propped open while retrieving a cell phone. The suspect entering two connected classrooms and locking the doors, firing more than 100 rounds at students and teachers. One of those classrooms seen here in a photo before the shooting. That day, police arriving on the scene 2 minutes after the gunman got into the building. A few officers grazed by bullets in the hallway. outside. More are seen arriving, but the gunfire continues as frantic parents urge police to save the children.
You know that they're kids, right? They're little kids. They don't know how to defend themselves.
The school district had conducted active shooter training in March, which requires police to confront a suspect. Despite that training, state officials say the on-scene commander that day, school district police chief Pete Arredondo, ordered tactical teams not to enter the classroom, wrongly believing they were no longer dealing with an active shooter, but instead a barricaded subject.
Of course it was not the right decision. It was a wrong decision, period.
In this new video obtained by ABC News, police are seen rescuing children after breaking a window.
More kids running out. They're breaking windows.
Officials say 19 officers were outside the locked classroom when the children inside started calling 911.
She identified herself and whispered, "She's in room 112.
On that video, you can overhear a dispatcher reporting a student is calling from the classroom.
You have a child on line. Room 12. Are we able to hear the room? Is there anybody inside of the building? Child is advising he is in the room full of victims
at this moment. The girl trying again minutes later.
8 to 9 children.
At 12:16, she's called back and said there's 8 to 9 students alive.
Again, this is 41 minutes after police arrived, but have not gone in. Sources tell ABC News the carnage only ended when federal agents decided to use a custodian's key to breach the door and kill the gunman.
At 12:47, she asked 911 to please send the police now. At 12:50, shots are fired. They can be heard. Will the 911 call?
Outside the school, the race to find the wounded. What sounds like radio dispatch capturing one of the victims talking to police.
A girl got shot, a kid.
Today, grieving family and friends laying the victims to rest. The first funeral for 10-year-old Amory Jo Garza. Classmates telling the family she tried calling 911 before she was killed. The Girl Scouts posthumously awarding her a Bronze Cross for risking her life to save others. Amory's father telling David that he will live every day to honor his daughter's memory, showing us that cherished video he carries on his phone of the time they spent fishing together.
Do you know what you're doing? Do you know what you're doing?
No.
What would you want people to know about your daughter?
She was the best person that I know. Full of life, gone too soon, always smiling, very productive. She was her own self. She was her own person. She was a leader. She didn't try to be like anybody. She wanted to do things the way she wanted to do them. And that's what I admired most about my daughter. She was not a follower, she was a leader.
10-year-old Maite Rodriguez dreamed of becoming a marine biologist since she was in kindergarten. Texas A&M Corpus Christi now setting up a scholarship in her honor. Her mother, Anna, wants Maite and all the victims to be remembered.
Why I want the world to know? Because I don't want her just to be another kid. I don't want her just to be another face. I don't want any of those kids to be just another face. Each one of them has a story to tell.
That is absolutely true. The idea of fourth graders now going to these funerals. Marcus Moore with us tonight. And Marcus, you mentioned they're the chief of the school police and this contention that they thought it was over, that they were dealing instead with a suspect now barricaded in a classroom as one of the reasons for not going in for so long. But I would imagine so many people at home tonight are still asking, wouldn't you still need to get in there to try to save lives of the children who had already been shot?
David, it is a key question, and it is one of the many that investigators are hoping to answer. They want to know, what did the officers on the scene, what information did they have about the injured children in that classroom and the 18-year-old gunman in real time? And David, as you just touched on, people here in Uvalde really want to know, could more have been done sooner to save lives in this school building?
That remains the essential question. Marcus Moore tonight, thank you. And from across this country, growing pressure on Congress to act on gun violence in our schools and these mass shootings. The Senate is in recess, but today a small bipartisan group of senators did meet over Zoom. Democrats Chris Murphy of Connecticut and Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona, Republicans John Cornyn of Texas and Tom Tillis of North Carolina. ABC's Rachel Scott live on the Hill tonight. And Rachel, what's on the table right now? What are these lawmakers really from both sides now potentially discussing?
Well, David, Democratic Majority Leader Chuck Schumer has given that small group of bipartisan senators 1 week to try and reach an agreement. They are discussing a range of options, from expanding background checks to red flag laws that would temporarily take away guns from people who are considered dangerous. The majority of Americans support these measures, but it will still be an uphill battle to try and get the 10 Republicans needed in order to get it passed in the Senate. Still, Democrats say they plan to bring those bills to the floor to get every single senator on the record, David.
But give us a reality check here, Rachel, as you always do. If these measures you just mentioned there were to pass, and that's a big if, it would need significant Republican support for some sort of red flag law and background checks. Would either of those things have stopped an 18-year-old with no record from going into a store one day after turning 18, like this suspect in Texas, from buying an AR-15-style rifle?
Right, David. It may not have been enough to stop him. Since the Sandy Hook massacre nearly a decade ago, AR-15-style rifles have been used in at least 12 mass shootings. Democrats want to ban it outright. Republicans say that is a non-starter, and they won't even consider raising the legal age limit required to purchase that style of a weapon, David.
Rachel Scott, live on the Hill for us again tonight. Rachel, thank you. Our coverage of the Uvalde school shooting and any efforts for gun safety in the wake of so many mass shootings in this country. But we do move on to the other news this Tuesday night and this evening. Millions of Americans are now on the path of severe weather tonight. Thunderstorms and damaging winds really from Texas all the way up to Michigan, and near record heat for the east. Then dangerous system moving into the northeast tomorrow. It comes after 5 reported tornadoes already. Just look at the images tonight. Damaging straight line winds. These images from western Minnesota. And of course, a trail of destruction across much of the upper Midwest tonight. Chief Meteorologist Ginger Z tracking it since GMA this morning. Back with us tonight. Hi, Ginger.
Hey, David. Meteorological summer starts tomorrow, but boy, has it felt like it. Here, Bridgeport, Connecticut, Newark, New Jersey, 98. Those places broke records. Islip, New York as well. Part of that is fueling the storms that are ongoing. There have just been huge baseball size plus hail in Texas Panhandle, breaking out windshields. We're seeing reports of that happening as we speak. The severe weather threat extends tonight all the way up through central Illinois and Chicago, even West Michigan. Those watches could extend, including the flash flood watches. Then tomorrow, damaging wind possible, Syracuse, Elmira, Scranton, back to Columbus, Ohio. And as we look at the Gulf of Mexico, tomorrow also begins hurricane season in the Atlantic. What was Agatha looks like it will cross over the Yucatan. We'll be watching what could redevelop as Alex in the Atlantic by the weekend, David.
We'll be watching it first thing in the morning. Thank you, Ginger. We're going to turn now to the major development tonight of the war in Ukraine. There is a fierce battle underway right now. The last key city still in Ukrainian hands in one part of the Donbass and Luhansk. Russian forces gaining ground there, and the White House pressed today, will it send rockets? And if so, how far will those rockets, will those weapons reach? Our senior foreign correspondent, Ian Pannell, from inside Ukraine again tonight.
Tonight, the battle for the Donbass raging as Russian and Ukrainian troops go toe-to-toe in the key city of Severodonetsk. It's the last city still in Ukrainian hands in Luhansk, one half of Donbass. Today, the mayor saying Russian troops control half of Severodonetsk with heavy street fighting. It's thought as many as 13,000 civilians are trapped in the town. The shelling's so intense that evacuation missions have stalled. We joined Territorial Defense Forces digging in towards the front line in Donbass.
There are positions like this dug in all across this region in Donbass. The Russians now are only a few miles away from this position. As you can see, they've dug into their trenches here. We're hearing the sound of artillery outgoing. This area is coming under increasing fire. The Ukrainians determined to hold on. The Russians determined to take this land.
Captain Svetlana Bogdanova admits they're taking losses, saying there are a lot of dead and wounded, but we know what we stand for and more will join our ranks.
To help the Ukrainians in their fight, the US is likely to send multiple rocket launch systems into the country, according to a US official. President Biden's been careful to say the US won't provide them with longer-range systems that have the ability to more easily hit targets across the border.
We're not going to send to Ukraine rocket systems that can strike into Russia.
But one US official told ABC News the administration is still likely to grant Ukraine's request for rocket systems with greater range than the howitzers the US has already given them.
David, a major move by the West tonight to further punish Russia, the European Union announcing a ban on almost 90% of Russian oil imports by the end of the year. It could cost Russia billions of dollars in lost revenue each month. David?
Ian Pannell in Kyiv for us. Thank you, Ian. Now to that flight from JFK Airport in New York City to Rome. We're learning about the two pilots who investigators say fell asleep in the cockpit during that flight. The investigation finding both pilots were sleeping for a time and that air traffic control lost contact with that passenger jet for about 10 minutes. Fighter jets were about to scramble, and ABC's Gio Benitez covers aviation for us.
Tonight, a stunning report. Investigators finding two airline pilots were allegedly asleep while their plane was still in the air. It happened 38,000 feet over France on a flight from JFK to Rome just last month. The plane, an Airbus 330, with as many as 250 passengers on board. The first officer was on his designated sleeping break, but the captain should have been on full alert. Air traffic controllers say they lost contact for about 10 minutes.
This can be a dangerous situation, especially if the two don't wake up in time.
It was so concerning, fighter jets were preparing to intercept the plane, but the pilots eventually started responding. ITA Airways, previously known as Alitalia, says the captain claimed the radios stopped working, but investigators found no issues. The airline saying in a statement the captain's behavior was not consistent with the rules dictated by the company.
And David, that plane did make it safely to Rome. Meanwhile, ITA tells us tonight it has fired the captain for both sleeping on the job and then lying about it. David?
Really unsettling for all of those passengers on board, Gio. Thank you. In Washington tonight, a major defeat for the special counsel named by the Trump administration to look into the origins of the Russia investigation. A jury today acquitting a lawyer who was connected to the Clinton campaign, who'd been accused of lying to the FBI. Here's our Chief Justice correspondent, Pierre Thomas, now.
It was the first trial of a case brought by the man handpicked by President Donald Trump's attorney general to examine the origins of the FBI's investigation into Trump's possible ties to Russia. But tonight, a Washington jury handing special counsel John Durham a stinging defeat, acquitting a lawyer with ties to Hillary Clinton's campaign of charging that he lied to the FBI.
I told the truth to the FBI, and the jury clearly recognized that.
Federal prosecutors had claimed that just before the 2016 election, the lawyer, Michael Sussman, misled the FBI when he passed along a tip that computers in Trump Tower were communicating with a Russian bank. Durham's team insisted Sussman was secretly acting as an operative of the Clinton campaign. Sussman, whose tip to the FBI did not pan out, said he was just trying to be a good citizen.
Despite being falsely accused, I'm relieved that justice ultimately prevailed in my case.
During the 2016 campaign, Trump's public appeals to Putin drawing scrutiny.
Russia, if you're listening, I hope you're able to find the 30,000 emails that are missing.
Still, Trump and his supporters insist the Russia investigation was a hoax designed to hurt his campaign and his presidency. They've been hoping that Durham would uncover some explosive revelations to back that up. 3 years later, that still has not happened. Durham has been investigating the origins of the Russia probe for more than 3 years. We're still awaiting the final report. Today, he said he was disappointed by the jury's verdict, but that he respected their decision. David?
All right, Pierre Thomas in Washington, thank you. Now to Iran tonight. The UN watchdog agency reportedly saying Iran has amassed enough enriched uranium to make a nuclear weapon, according to a new report by the International Atomic Energy Agency. The Biden administration saying they are now more uncomfortable with how close Iran is getting to this. When we come back here tonight, the search for those two missing women kayaking, their group plunging over a dam, and the 9-year-old girl surviving a rare cougar attack. And we do have news on her condition tonight.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan.
It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Tonight, authorities are still searching for two missing kayakers, two women in Richmond, Virginia. A group of kayakers going over a 12-foot dam in the James River more than 24 hours ago now. Kayaks, rafts, and paddleboards caught in the current under the rush of the water there. Nine people rescued by other kayakers, one person climbing out of the water on their own. The search for those two women will resume tomorrow. And a 9-year-old girl surviving a rare cougar attack in eastern Washington state. Authorities say she fought for her life when the cougar pounced while she was camping over the weekend. She was on a trail with two friends at the time, adults rushing in to help her. She's had surgery now for multiple injuries, but tonight her family now says she is in stable condition and is, quote, doing great. And that is great news. To the index of other news tonight and to this new study on coffee, researchers now say anywhere between 1.5 cups to 3.5 cups a day has now been linked with a lower risk of dying, whether you drink it black or with sugar. Those results in the Annals of Internal Medicine. And tonight, the global sensation BTS with a visit to the White House. President Biden meeting with members of the K-pop supergroup in the Oval Office to talk about the rise in anti-Asian hate crimes, discrimination, and the importance of Asian representation in the U.S. and inclusion among all groups. Before we go tonight, the images that speak of the unbearable loss in so many of these communities long after the cameras leave. In Uvalde, Texas today, the children arriving at the funeral for Amory Jo Garza at Sacred Heart Catholic Church. He was just 10. Fourth graders right there saying goodbye to their treasured friend. Family and loved ones consoling each other. The Girl Scouts with that honor for her today, for her bravery, trying to call 911, awarding her that rare bronze cross for trying to save others. And Maite Rodriguez, also 10, laid to rest. She dreamed of becoming a marine biologist, now Texas A&M University Corpus Christi, creating a special scholarship to honor her. We'll stay on this. I'm David Muir in New York. I'll see you tomorrow. Good night.